In the name of our Lord Jesus, the Savior who frees us from bitterness. Amen. The text that we will be considering today is the reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, just read. In my former house, in the backyard, there was a fence that bordered my property from that of my neighbor. And on this fence, there grew a bittersweet vine. It was very prolific, thriving, robust. I didn't plant that bittersweet vine. It was planted probably years before because it had already been so well established. It was woody and intertwining. And in fact, the vines were reaching out and suffocating, smothering out my other plantings, hosta and perennials, and even my lawn. What was worse was that this bittersweet vine produced clusters of orange berries. And my neighbor told me that these berries were poisonous. Well, that settled it. I didn't want any poisonous berries in my backyard. And so I undertook to get rid of that bittersweet vine. I pruned the branches. I trimmed the vine. I cut it down to the ground, thinking that would take care of it. But nope. Very shortly, shoots were coming up from the roots. And within a matter of a few months, it had once again pretty well taken over that fence. So I determined to get rid of it by going down and getting the roots out. I chopped out the roots. I got a spade and dug them out and even tried pulling those roots out. Got quite a few out. But the root system was so extensive that there were still bits and pieces of roots in the ground. And very shortly, those roots would send up shoots. My efforts at trying to get rid of that bittersweet vine were futile. In our text here today from Hebrews chapter 12, we're confronted with another problem. It's not the problem of horticulture in terms of a bittersweet vine or of any other kind of noxious weed, but it's a problem of a root of bitterness. The writer to the Hebrews says this: "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Let's take a look at this bitter root and its noxious effects on our lives. A root is that which is below the surface. You can't see it. It's underground. And this spiritual root of bitterness is also below the surface. It's in our hearts. It's in our souls. This root of bitterness, however, will eventually produce fruit. But it starts with a root. And it starts in the soil of being hurt. Our text here was written to the people of the Hebrews. And the context makes it very clear that they are being hurt. They are being hurt for their faith. They are being hurt for their witness. They're being persecuted and oppressed, having their property confiscated, being ostracized and outcast in society, many of them being physically harmed, some even losing their lives. And the writer here recognizes that that is fertile ground for bitterness. That these people might begin to think, hey, I've converted to Christianity. I've converted to the life in Christ, and all that I get is pain and sorrow. Bitterness. What about for us? Is there bitterness in the Church of God in our midst? Recently, for a project that I've been engaged in, I have been looking through the clergy shortage report compiled by Dr. Alan Klaus. And I know that this has been a controversial report, and perhaps some of his findings and the problems have been magnified and exaggerated, but no doubt there is some reality to what he reports. And Dr. Klaus reports that among the clergy, the pastors of our Missouri Synod, and among seminarians, there is some bitterness. And the bitterness, he says, results from their being hurt in their vocations and in their training. He says that so oftentimes they make great sacrifices for their people, for their church, sacrifices of time and energy and family life and income. And yet, they receive attacks from those they serve. Verbal, emotional attacks, insults, offenses. And they become bitter as a result. This is the root of bitterness, and it has its soil in being hurt. But the root doesn't just stay a root. It also surfaces above the ground and becomes fruit. In my situation with that bittersweet vine, I couldn't have really cared if it would have stayed a root underground. The real problem was that it would surface and produce poisonous berries, poisonous fruit. That's why I wanted to get rid of it. And the same is true with this root of bitterness. It will eventually surface and bear poisonous fruit. In our text here, it describes that fruit. It says, "See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many, poison many." This is the fruit. It causes trouble, poisons, defiles us. Just like the fruit of bitterness in the gospel reading amongst the disciples who became indignant with James and John because of their ambitious claims. The fruit of bitterness manifests itself among us as well. One such fruit is resentment. Church people, church workers, pastors begin to resent their people they serve, their congregations. Seminarians begin to resent the seminary and their teachers and professors. And maybe eventually we begin to resent God himself. Another fruit of bitterness is that of retaliation. I was hurt by her at that voters' assembly. I was insulted by him at that voter, at that elders' meeting. And so I'll get back. I'll hurt back. I'll get even with them. And a third fruit, poisonous fruit of bitterness, is burnout. Dr. Klaus, in his report, indicates that perhaps upwards of 20% of pastors in the Missouri Synod are at some stage of burnout in their ministries. And he says the source is bitterness. Several years ago, I read a book by Dr. Frank Minerf, one of the co-founders of the Minerf-Meyer psychological clinics in the southern part of the United States. And this book was about clergy burnout. And he said something I found very, very interesting. I had always thought that the main cause of clergy burnout was overwork. But he said, no, that's not the case. He said the main cause of clergy burnout is bitterness. That we feel that we're not appreciated, recognized, and instead we are criticized and insulted and offended. Yes, the root of bitterness will not stay below the surface, but it will make itself known in poisonous fruit that is deadly to the family of God. Well, I know that you haven't come here to hear all this bad news. You and I know that this bitterness is a reality in our midst, in our church body, in our own lives and hearts and souls. But the question is, how can we deal with it? How can we be rid of this bitter plant? Recalling my experience with the bittersweet vine, all of my efforts, all of my struggles were futile. I couldn't get rid of that root. But I had a parishioner, a farmer, who heard of my ordeal, and one day he came over with a can of spray can. And he simply sprayed the bittersweet vine with the contents of that can, and all of a sudden, after a few days, it began to wither and die, and it never came back. You see, what was in that can was herbicide, systemic herbicide. And so it affected the whole system of roots to the very tips until it was all gone. With this root of bitterness in our lives, someone else comes to rid us of it. We can't do it by our own power. We can't get rid of that root. And the one who does so is God. And the spiritual herbicide, if you will, that he uses is his grace. Our text here says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." He's saying here that when we miss the grace of God, that's when the bitterness will come forth. But the implication is, if we receive the grace of God, if we obtain that, bitterness will not be able to take root and poison our lives. It will wither away. What is this grace of God? First of all, it is his grace to us. It is his unearned, undeserved, unmerited, unconditional mercy and love for sinners like you and me. If anyone ever had a right to retaliate, it was God, and retaliate against us, because no one was ever hurt more than God from the beginning of human history. Sin after sin after sin assaulted him, insulted him, offended him. And our sin does the same. And yet God's response was not one of retaliation, even though he could have destroyed us. Instead, he went the way of grace. He entered into this bitter world as a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. And he experienced the bitterness of those who hated and opposed and rejected and reviled him. And on that Good Friday, he was scourged and mocked and nailed to that morbid execution post we call the cross. But what were his words from the cross? "Father, forgive them." And in his final breath, he declared, "It is finished. It is accomplished. The forgiveness of our sins. The finishing of our bitterness." He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, for you and me, that we might be pardoned, that we might be freed, that we might be released from the sin of our bitterness. But the grace of God doesn't stop there. Not only does it come to us, but then it flows through us to others. To those who have hurt us, those who have offended us, those who have slandered us, we are able, by the power of God's grace, to share grace with others. And as we have been released from that bitterness, we release others from their offenses against us. This, and this alone, the grace of God, is the herbicide that destroys the root of bitterness. I remember as a child watching on TV Art Linkletter's show, Kids Say the Darndest Things. In fact, now it's been taken over by Bill Cosby. And there was one episode of Linkletter's show in which he was interviewing these children regarding the subject of prayer. And indeed, kids do say the darndest things, funny things, but also things with great insight and wisdom. And in this episode, Linkletter asked a 5-year-old how he prayed. And the child replied, he prays the Lord's Prayer. So Linkletter asked him to recite the Lord's Prayer. And when the child got to the 5th petition, he formulated it this way. Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Well, maybe not quite accurate, but it's real. Every day, people will put trash in our baskets that hurt us, that offend us, that insult us. And the real question is, what will we do with that trash? Will we let it continue to accumulate, pile up, decompose, and become rich compost for the root of bitterness? Or by the grace of God, will we empty that trash and be released from bitterness? May God the Holy Spirit empower us to practice what we pray as we forgive others their trespasses because we have been forgiven. Amen. And now may the peace of our Savior relieve and release you from the curse of sin. Amen.